Today's scripture reading comes from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. Just as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, and to us a child is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice, righteousness, from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Good morning again. Okay, that's better. Okay. Good morning, everybody. First, I want to say thank you for coming last night, some of you. And I want to say thank you to the team who organized this, the committee, Shuping, Tarolin, Tiffany, and myself, yes. actually, there's a committee of four. We don't include Richie because he has to help with no option. Actually, you know, the four of us, but most of the work is really done by the other three, Shuping, Tiffany, and Terrin. So most of the time in the meeting, you know, I just say that's a good idea. And then I say it's a fantastic idea, it's an excellent idea. And then I repeat that again, it's a good idea. So that's all I did. So then I did all the work. So I really appreciate, I mean, we all appreciate what Shuping and the team has done. So I want to say thank you on behalf of the English congregation. So let's do it again next year. Okay. So this morning I'm going to talk about darkness again. Last night I talked about darkness. But last night I talked about the darkness in people's heart. So this morning I talked about the darkness in the world. So a different kind of darkness. So this week someone very famous said something like this about darkness. I always have trouble with this thing. Okay. So in mechanical engineering, we learned that the first thing is to turn it on first, and then it will work. See, this is what engineering is all about, you know, to read the instructions. The days are dark right now, but soon the winter solstice will be coming, and the days will get longer, and we are at least turning ever so slowly back towards the light. What an encouragement, right? Who said this? Dr. Bonnie. Okay, it's not Pastor Norman. it's Dr. Bonnie. She said this in Friday afternoon's restriction announcement. So obviously, she's talking about something else than our topic this morning. So she's not trying to help us with my sermon this morning. Swiss office, obviously, talk about the restrictions, the pandemic, and we're going to have some restrictions at church. I'm going to announce it later. So it's just trying to encourage all of us to look ahead. The darkness will be over us, behind us, very soon. We just have to bear with it a little bit more. If we all discipline, behave well, we may be able to get out of this sooner. And the light is ahead of us. So this is a quick encouragement. It's sort of, I can borrow this to use for this morning's message. So Isaiah was saying the same thing. We are in the darkness, but this darkness will soon be over, will be behind us. The light is coming. So what is the darkest day of this year in Vancouver? See who knows. What will be the shortest day this year or this winter? In Vancouver, I guess it's different for each place, right? Okay. Chris seems to always have the right answer for when I ask him about the virus. So the shortest day is be December 21st. That'll be Tuesday. So after Tuesday, the day will get longer. The light is coming. So Isaiah, 700 somewhat years before Christ was born, made this prophecy that the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. Isaiah was preaching this when the nation was in despair. Northern tribes has been conquered, taken away, deported to Assyria. And the people on the south, they are worried. They're in despair. They're scared. They're depressed because they don't know when will be their turn, that they'll be conquered. And we look back now, we know that eventually the southern tribes will also be conquered, taken away, and many will be killed. So they were living in great fear when Isaiah the prophet make all these prophecies when the book was written, Isaiah. And people are really scared in the darkness. We are not in the same stage as the Israelites in Isaiah's time. But I think we feel that we are in the darkness. When is this going to be over? Right? We thought that this Christmas we can all have a good reunion together with our family members. And last night, well, we planned to have a, because Cynthia has a four siblings on her side, I have four, so we are planning some Christmas gathering. It will be a big gathering until Friday with all these restrictions. We are going back. So when is this going to be over? The Israelites people were asking the question. And Isaiah giving them encouragement here. And this is Isaiah, of course, it's a poem. A lot of the books in the Old Testament are poems. The people who walk in darkness, those who live in a dark land. So it's a parallel, right? Tim, right? We'll learn all this. Right? He knows all this inside out. And people who walk and live in darkness will see a great light. See, and the light will shine on you. When you look at the light shine on you. What a beautiful poem. Right? So when you read the Old Testament, you need to read it as poetry. So Isaiah here is saying encouragement. The darkness will soon be gone. From darkness into light. From despair into joy. From conflict into peace. And from loss into abundance. That is from verse 1 to 4, verse 5. So Isaiah here is giving them encouragement. Actually, from verse 1 to 5 were written in past tense. That means it has already happened, even though it is not. But the prophet Isaiah was so sure that this will happen, he actually used past tense. Right? You are the walk, you will walk, you have walked, you have seen the light, you have walked in darkness, but now you are living in a dark, living in under the light. So he's actually using past tense, but it is something that's going to happen in the future. Verse 1 to 5. The light has come, Isaiah said. But the light haven't come yet, actually. That will come 700 years later. So here, Isaiah is encouraging the people who are in darkness. The light has come, but really will come. But for us, the light has already come. So Isaiah is encouraging them. The light, this light in Isaiah later on, Isaiah 42, 6, the light is also for the Gentiles. So Isaiah here is actually making a prophecy about this good news. It's not only going to be for the Israelites only, it'll be for all people, for the Gentiles. It's something that they probably did not understand even today. Unfortunately, the Jewish people still do not understand that Jesus has come. And now this good news is for all people, for all. A light, Isaiah 42:6, a light for the Gentiles. Isaiah 49:6, I will also make you a light for the Gentiles. Repeat that again. Joy in victory, from despair to joy. You have enlarged the nation, have enlarged it, but haven't happened yet, and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. They were in great despair, but Isaiah here is already talking about the joy of winning the battles, the joy of the harvest. But today we don't have harvest, so maybe we can think of the joy of your payday, the end of the year, the bonus, if you get any, if you're lucky enough to get any. You are lucky if you still have a job. The joy of harvest, the joy of winning over your enemies, even though later on they actually never experienced this. They lost the battles. They were deported. They were killed. So obviously Isaiah is talking about something beyond people in his time. He's talking about the future victories, the future joy. But he used the past tense here. It's very interesting. C.S. Lewis said that it is the duty of every Christian to be as happy as possible. Well, easy for you to say, Mr. Lewis. Every Christian should be as happy as possible. We know that today, I'm sure some of us are not very happy. Probably even sitting here, some of us may not be happy. We may worry the exam that we did not get 99%. Or pass. We worry about maybe finding a job. We worry about health. The pandemic is stressing us out, stressing some of us out, at least. We have to work under maybe stressful conditions. There are many reasons today that we are also lost this joy that Isaiah is proclaiming here. The joy has already come, but actually for a lot of us, we may not feel this joy. You know, even Mr. C.S. Lewis said that every Christian should be as happy as possible. It's an interesting statement, but we are not happy. Someone said that there are six reasons why you are not happy today. You may be too complicated, think too much, you're too complex, learn to be more simple. You're going too fast. Some of us are going too fast, doing too many things. That must be me. Okay, so take a pause. You have no hope. You're despair. There's no future. You cannot see light in front of you. You cannot see a direction in your life, and you feel lonely in this pandemic. I think a lot of us feel lonely. So good that you come to church. We have a community, but not everybody has a community. You can come to church, come to fellowship Friday night, Saturday night. You can join prayers online. We have a community, so we should thank the Lord for that. But not every person. In fact, a lot of the people probably do not belong to any community, that they are really lonely. So people are not happy. Isaiah said that the joy, rejoice, the happiness will come. But when is it? I'm sure the people, when they read Isaiah, they were asking, where is this joy that you are proclaiming? Isaiah continued to say that, for you will break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors, as at the battle of Midian. Reminding them again how they will win the battles. No more injustice on them. No more suppressions. No more oppressors. They will be free. So Isaiah here is proclaiming that justice will come. We are living in a world, even though we are living in probably one of the best countries in the world, at least one of the wealthiest, I think we are probably the 10th, one of the top 10 wealthiest countries in the world, but we still see injustice here, injustice. I'm sure we have all experienced part of that. Isaiah here is proclaiming that there will be a time to come, there will be no more injustice. Oppressions, there will be peace. For every boot of the marching warrior in the roar of battle and cloak rolled in blood will be for burning, fuel for the fire. We are relatively living in a peaceful land in Canada. We're probably one of the more peaceful countries in the world. Partly because we're right next to our big brother, the U.S. there. No one dare to invade us without getting the U.S. excited. So that's why we spend very little on our defense. We save a lot of money, not like Taiwan. They spend a lot of their money on defense, which is something that doesn't really help your economy. But we are fortunate. We don't need a lot of weapons. Anybody try to invade us, I'm sure our big brother will come over and help us. But we are living in the world, but when we look beyond our land, we see tensions in Europe. We see tensions in Asia, isn't it? Africa fight battles. Someone defined that a war is when 1,000 people are killed. And then based on that, someone did some, I don't know how they did it, that in the history of the last 3,500 years, there's only about 280 years that there's no war. But this probably doesn't count Asia, right? Probably that's not in their record. Asia, China, Africa. So I'm sure if you count all the countries in the world, probably there wasn't a day of peace on earth. For the last thousands of years. Sometimes I just wonder, I look at the news and say, why can't we all live in peace? I mean, there's enough resource on this land for all of us. You know, why can't we live in peace? When the country gets more wealth, they want more than they want other things more than just wealth. There's no peace on this earth. But Isaiah here is promising not just to his people in his time, but it's also promising us there will be no war, there will be peace to come. Isn't this what we want today? Light, joy, justice, peace. That's exactly what we're looking for, isn't it? Especially the younger people, they're more idealistic. They want, why can't we live in peace? As we get older, we realize that this is it. This is earth. This is the land. We give up. No matter what we do, the world is going to be like this. There's always countries fighting against each other. But here, I see giving us hope here. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful. That's a different way of translate this. His name shall be called Wonder, comma, Counselor, comma, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. I tend to like the King James. I know at least one of us here use a King James Bible. So the King James Bible, I think the translation is more accurate. So actually, there are five descriptions here. The child will be called Wonder, because Wonder is actually is a noun, not an adjective. Shall be called Wonder, comma, a Counselor, comma, Mighty God. And this little baby, so Isaiah is saying that this little baby is going to save us. Now, what do you think the people in those days will think? That you are crazy. This little baby is going to save us and going to bring us light, joy, peace. And you've got to be kidding. So they are expecting this baby to come. But when Jesus came, they didn't expect Jesus was this baby, because obviously he's not Eternal Father, Prince of Peace, Mighty God. Is not that mighty. So they said that this cannot be it. Today we are anticipating, waiting for Christmas to come. We're waiting for this baby. Jesus already came. So when we first have our Grace, my first daughter, when Cynthia was expecting, so it's almost the due date, but I had to go to a church gospel camp for the young people, so I had to go and lead the camp. So in those days, just before the invention of cell phones, and so, okay, do I have to rent a baby beeper? So you can tell how old we are. Right? It's called baby beeper. So they give you a special race, you can rent it, so that when your wife calls you, hey, come home, no, I'm taking you to the hospital, then you can call and go home, right? So it's a beeper. I guess these young people, what's a beeper? Right? You don't know what a beeper is, right? So when someone tries to call you, they call this call station. The call station will send you a signal, and then your beeper will beep, 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 beep. Then you go to a payphone, and then you call. Did somebody try to beep me? I said, yeah, come home. You know, your wife's going to give birth to a baby. So I had to carry a beep, beeper. We went to a beeper, so I went to the church gospel camp. So it's a great expectation, but I have to tell you. And here, people are expecting this baby, Wonderful, Wonder, Counselor. And this baby, there will be no end to the increase of his government. This is the government. He is the government. We all praying for a government that will lead us back to the Bible, that will lead us to walk in the light of God. And here, this is the government. There's no end to this government. There's no more election. Goodness, no more waste of money. Our last election, I shouldn't say it's a waste of money. Our last election cost us 500 and somewhat million. 508, I think, if I remember right. $508 million our last election. Nothing has changed. We're still the same government. Everything is the same. But we lost $508 million. So in a few years' time, we have to have another election. But here I said that there will be no more elections. There's no end to the increase of his government or peace. He will come to establish something that we're all looking for today, isn't it? Justice and righteousness from then on and forever. Who can fulfill this role? So I'm sure the readers of Isaiah in those times will think, who can fulfill this role? A great general, a great politician, a powerful man. There's this story. There are three professionals, a surgeon, engineer, and a politician. So they were arguing, which is the first profession God created? So the surgeon said, obviously, God created the surgeons first, right? Because when God created Eve, and you need a surgeon to open up Adam, take out a bone, and then put it, create a woman, and sew it back. So the surgeon is the first profession on earth. But the engineer said, no, not the surgeon. The engineer, which I tend to agree, right? They are the most important, they are the first profession that God created. In the beginning, there was chaos and darkness, right? And it's the engineers who put things in order, right? Team is an engineer, right? It's us who make things in order, right? We turn rocks into gold and copper, right? We make highways, people can drive on. So the engineers who first created a profession. And then the politician said, no. But who created darkness and chaos first, right? Politicians, right? It's a joke, okay. But here Jesus said, no, not Jesus, Isaiah said, this baby, he will be the government forever. He will bring justice and righteousness to us because he is a wonder. Wonder. The word wonder meaning the best translation I find is incomprehensive. Incomprehensive. Beyond imagination. It's mind-boggling. So there is no word to describe this baby. Not just smart baby, good-looking baby. It's beyond imagination. And when we look at the life of Christ, we know that Jesus is beyond imagination. He's a divine healer. He's a perfect teacher. He's a perfect life. And he's God himself. He's a counselor. He's an advisor, counselor. We all need advice. When people ask to pray for me, every time, I say, well, besides my health, I need to have good health. I cannot serve if I'm ill. Besides good health, I pray for my wisdom. I need wisdom. I make lots of decisions each day for the church. Sometimes it's not that black and white. To be and not to be, should we change the Christmas celebration? Sometimes you make the decision on that day at that time. One day later, you may think, maybe you should do it another way. It's always to look back and say that we should have done it the other way. But when you have to make a decision at that time, you only have that much time to make it. In that situation, sometimes you make that decision. And I wish now I had more wisdom. I can look ahead, look forward. So if you ask me, I need a good counselor. And Jesus is this counselor. He is there to help us to decide, to walk, to find our direction. He is the counselor. It's a wonder, and he is our counselor. He's the almighty God. The word mighty here is referring to a warrior, fighting, general. So he is going to defend the people of Israel. He's going to defend all the enemies. So he is the mighty God. That's why even today, the Jewish people still cannot accept Jesus. How could this weak teacher, gentleman, be a warrior, a mighty meaning a warrior, a fighter, mighty God? Jesus just doesn't fit this. Eternal Father. Eternal meaning is from ever to ever. So Jesus from Alpha to Omega, he is from the beginning to the end. It's an eternal Father who loves and protects us. The Father here, the role of the Father is to protect the children. So Jesus is an eternal Father from the beginning to the end. He will protect us like a father. Prince of Shalom. So the word peace is not complete. When you compare to the word Shalom in Hebrew, I look up the word Shalom, meaning here is actually the Prince of Shalom. Shalom meaning completeness, wholeness, rest, safety, soundness, tranquility, fullness, harmony, lack of worry, absence of agitation. Wow, don't you want just some of this? Right? So he will bring us fullness and abundant life. Jesus said, I came that you may have life and abundant life. This is exactly what Jesus is coming here for. Wow, isn't this great? So Isaiah said that this is God's promise, and this will happen. So he used past tense, this will happen. You will have joy. You will have light, even though it may look dark at the time. There will be justice. Justice will be done, even though it may not be in your lifetime. There will be peace, eternal peace. He said that 2,700 years ago, and Jesus came 2,000 years ago and fulfilled the prophecy. Or did he? Was the prophecy fulfilled? Yes, Jesus came. But where is the light? How come we are still in darkness? Jesus came. But where is peace? There's no peace. Jesus, Isaiah promised us justice. But where is justice? There's no justice. It's not fair. A lot of things are not fair. Where's righteousness? Isaiah promised righteousness. But where is righteousness? Are you asking this question this morning? Usually, the preacher will stop here. That hallelujah, Jesus came. No, he's a wonderful counselor, almighty God, eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Hallelujah, let's celebrate. But Jesus already came 2,000 years ago. But where is the fulfillment of Isaiah's promise? Where is the light? I don't think we are that light up now. We're still in the darkness. Where's peace? We may have a little bit of peace here, but look at the whole world. If there's a nuclear war in Asia, I don't think we will be spared. Where is the fulfillment? Once on being asked by the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. This has already been fulfilled. The light has come. The justice has come. The righteousness is here. Peace is here. Shalom is here, and it's in you. We are the fulfillment. The kingdom is among us. We are God's kingdom. God's kingdom is in our hearts, in our life. Jesus came 2,000 years ago, and then he has entrusted the kingdom into all of us sitting here and in the world. All the Christians in the world, we are his kingdom. We are his reign. Jesus' love, light, peace, shalom, love is being expressed through our life. And his kingdom is among us. And this kingdom will, as Isaiah said, it will continue to grow forever because we're supposed to expand this kingdom, not limit it, keep it to ourselves. We're supposed to share this good news and people make people's life change until all the people, until to the end of the earth, ends of the earth, until everybody have this kingdom in their heart. Then there will be peace on earth. There will be complete peace on earth. There will be justice. Well, I shouldn't say complete, because we still are sinners. We will still be fighting each other, but God's kingdom will be spread to every country, every tribes on this earth. And this is what Isaiah's prophecy is about, that his government will permeate to everywhere through us. by sharing this good news, this gospel, and we bring this kingdom to more and more people. But this kingdom, this light, this harmony, this joy, this justice, this peace, this shalom, has to first come from our life, because God's kingdom is in our life. Jesus has already come, and Jesus is in us. So we have fulfilled this prophecy, and we have to continue to fulfill this promise, to expand this prophecy, to expand this kingdom. Let's pray.